broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 2nd in the year of our Lord 2021. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Man, have we got a lot to cover today. We are live 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 2 hours a day. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, ladies and gentlemen. We've had a lot of crazy weekends over the summer and recently and stuff where we've done some rebroadcasts on Saturdays and such like that. I've had some family commitments and personal events. We had the 25th year anniversary celebration of Liberty Roundtable Live, so we did a rebroadcast on that day as well because we were cranking up everything. We're getting ready for an incredible park activity for families as part of it, those who could come. And it was a private event. Everybody wasn't invited. We just didn't have room for thousands of people. But we had, 120-plus people in attendance. And, man, it was sure fantastic. Well, we were getting ready on one Saturday morning in the rain because we didn't know what was going to happen. Are we going to get rained out or what? And we just had faith. And we prepared in the rain. And before you know it, we prayed that it would be sunny for our event. And believe it or not, it rained, and then the sun came out for our event. And then when our event was over, about a three-hour-long event, it started to, get windy and rain again a little bit. And we just considered it an absolute blessing and a miracle from the Lord that we had great weather that day. Anyway, I digress, except to say we've had a lot of incredible things going on over the weekends. I've been out of town working on some projects. We've had some family events and the Liberty Roundtable Live event. And anyway, it's been really busy. But now we're back live on Saturday. Happy to be here. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Yesterday's broadcast, in my opinion, was one of the very best broadcasts we've been able to put together ever in the whole history of the radio program. 25-plus years on the radio. And yesterday's program was one of the best we've ever done. And I want to thank Chris Carlson, a big old shout out to him for getting this guest for us, putting it together. As you know, Chris Carlson's with us every Friday, discussion of all things liberty. He does a great job himself, but in this case, he brought us an incredible guest. And Chris was with us first hour interviewing the guest. And then second hour, I continued the broadcast. But man, it was a good show. Our guest was Brad Barton. Are you looking for someone to help you ignite world-class performance? BradSpeaks.com gets that done. Now, Brad Barton, ladies and gentlemen, is a multi-talented person. He's a runner, and at 48 years old, he ran a sub-420 mile. Yeah, in the senior categories in his 50s, the guy has been breaking all kinds of records. Just amazing stuff. He's had a 20-year career in speaking, public speaking, sharing his understanding of his experiences relating to really a story of tragedy and triumph, in my humble opinion, where Brad has had so many injuries, it's shocking. But he felt called. Yeah, he answered his call. All of us feel the pull to do things beyond our, quote, realm of comfort. When we answer those calls, we bless our lives and we bless the lives of others. We also talked about reinvention. All of us are faced with constant change. When we acknowledge the dynamic nature of our existence, make considered adjustments, and then get on with professional and personal improvement, we avoid stagnation and damnation. Right? Just tremendous understanding from Brad. We talked about knowing your why, whether it be the way we order our lives or simply conduct our daily bread winning, in other words, in your career, understanding of where we are going and what we are doing is key to success. It's a key to increase effectiveness and an enhanced quality of life, right? What we say more of, we see more of. If we want to change our story, then we must change our stories. The anatomy of culture really is the cumulative effect of our collective stories and whatever system we examine. What is he saying about this? Really, it's all about the mind. Yeah, you got to do the body part too if you're going to be a runner like Brad. But running isn't the real story. Running is just Brad's experiences with tragedy and triumph, with Brad's experiences relating to he felt like he was called to do this. This wasn't just a prideful, you know, agenda. I want to be a rock star. I want to be famous. I want to be. This was in Brad's blood. This was at Brad's core that, you know what, I feel like I'm supposed to do this. Do you feel that way about anything? Have you felt that way about anything? Well, you can, should feel that way. You should find out what your calling is. And I correlated that to my calling on the radio. I believe I've got a calling to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why it's about God first, to share the value of family. And I generally support the traditional family, a male and female. Created he them, right? And that a man and woman should get together and love one another and get married and have a fidelity commitment to one another and be together. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, such as myself, don't believe we can just get married for time. We believe we can get married for all eternity. We believe we have power beyond the grave given to us by God Almighty. Now, whether you share that belief or not isn't the point. We absolutely believe in traditional marriage, God-ordained marriage, and God-ordained traditional families. But we also understand that the family isn't perfect. Sometimes people don't have parents. Tragedy strikes, and they don't have parents. Sometimes people don't have siblings. Sometimes parents can't have children. But we are the great family of God. We are his sons and daughters on the earth. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with people reaching out and making up their own families if they don't have one, or including people in their families if others don't have one. You know, there's several people that rally around my family, and that they're close to family, even though by blood they may not be. Well, matter of fact, I'm adopted. I come from a family of 7 adopted children, so I get the, well, we don't have blood, but we are a family idea. And I'm not endorsing alternative families, because I believe the traditional family is God's way. But I am embracing alternative families. When I say I don't endorse them, but I embrace them, let me be very careful with my words. I don't endorse them because I don't want you to believe that I think that they're superior or equal to a God-ordained family. But you know what? They're the next best thing. In other words, it's great for a husband and a wife to multiply and replenish the earth and bring children to the earth. That's God's preferred way. If that's not possible for some reason, adoption is a great alternative. Now, I would never want to promote adoption over having your own children, right? So that's why I don't endorse it, but I embrace it, meaning it's the next best thing. It's wonderful. And I'm blessed by adoption. And so I want to be very careful. I'm not downing those alternatives. I'm just saying that there's an order of things, right? I'll give you an example. Families should take care of one another and take care of themselves. They shouldn't go to church for support. Then you go to extended family. But if for some reason that safety net's not there, then go to your church. Churches are a great secondary safety net. They're just as valuable. There's not any dishonor in going to the church if you've tithed and done your part, right? There's nothing dishonorable about going to the church. But it's secondary. It's meant to support the family, not the other way around, right? So that's really kind of important to understand. Anyway, I digress, except for Brad Barton interview was continued in the second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live. And if you're looking for someone to help you unite world-class performance, baby, bradspeaks.com. He speaks all over. And it's motivational in nature. And it's great. For 2 decades, ladies and gentlemen, Brad Barton has delivered stirring, instructive, transformative leadership presentations and coaching. He, for companies around the world, cutting-edge companies and more, he says, let's do something that's never been done. And that's what he did in his running career. But that's, you know, really the takeaway here that I think is important. All right. Anyway, Brad Barton, great. One of our best interviews. Still available at LibertyRoundtable.com and LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Share the love, if you will. But I'm telling you, Brad Barton, what a class act. We're grateful for taking time out of his busy schedule to be on the radio with us. One of the best interviews I believe we've ever done, because it's so full of positive attitudes, so full of God, family, and country, so cool of the core of what we focus on this radio program, so motivational, so encouraging, so full of hope, so full of, you know what, we're never going to give up. And that's the attitude that we need to have, not only in our own personal lives for our own personal callings, but that's what we need to have when it comes to a belief in the greatest country on the face of the earth, America, as well. Right? I believe in America. I think America is the greatest country. I don't think that puts us above anybody else. We're not greater than other children of God who live in a different country. We're just the greatest country because we have the principles that protect rights. We have the blueprint to make sure that governments don't get out of control. Right? We have the success story out of the couple of hundred years experiment of our founding fathers of success. That's all. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. Joe Biden signed bill to avert partial government shutdown and keep the government funded through December the 3rd. The House, the Senate, and Joe all passed it. I think it's a sad tale to tell because we're just kicking the can down the road, financially speaking, and I think it's a shame. And Brad Barton even brought up that he thought it was wrongheaded as well. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's show. Still available at LibertyRoundtable.com and LovingLiberty.net. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use straight ahead, right here on Liberty Roundtable Live.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom, and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left, and I was so mad I got out, and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money, and then I dropped it in the water, and I was late for history, and so at lunchtime, I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which, of course, our library didn't have, so I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom, and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me, and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout, and then he read my history paper while I was in the pool, and of course, I forgot the bibliography, so I had to do that with my mother when I got home, and it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning, and I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew, but my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team, and you know, I'm just not gonna go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just wanna stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Have we got hard-hitting news the networks refuse to you, ladies and gentlemen? Ready for it? You ready for it? Cameron, can you handle it, buddy? This is hard-hitting. Can you hang? Mickey D's, baby. Mickey D's. That's right. McDonald's barbecue pork sandwich returns to restaurants nationwide for a limited time, November 1st. Yeah, it's earlier than last year, ladies and gentlemen. McRib lovers, it's coming soon. The iconic barbecue sandwich is coming back. Yeah, they're calling it the McRib season, baby. It's kind of like a sports season nowadays. You got McRib season going on, right? Yeah, it's seasoned boneless pork, barbecue sauce, onions and pickles on a hoagie-style bun. Yeah, you got to dig it. I mean, that is news. By the way, it was first launched regionally in Kansas City back in 1981. That was before its national debut. Yeah. The idea of the sandwich was to be enjoyed during the colder seasons, Cameron. You probably didn't even know that. But there you have it, man. Yeah, you're McLovin' it. Yeah, man, it was to be enjoyed during the colder seasons. Whether you're a McRib loyalist or a first-time taster, there is no denying, ladies and gentlemen, that the McRib is one of the most iconic sandwiches of the last 4 decades, ladies and gentlemen. That's why this is news the networks refuse to use, see? They say we have thousands of emails and tweets from fans to prove it. McDonald's says the internet boom and the emergence of social media is what solidified the McRib's icon status. Think about that. It's all social media, baby. And they say we've even got McRib season now, ladies and gentlemen, because of this iconic comeback via social media. McDonald's hinted on Twitter that they had the most important announcement to roll out Thursday. Turn on your notifications, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to give the great news to you. And that was the McRibs, right? Now, believe it or not, last year was the first time since 2012 that the McRib was available nationwide. Kind of interesting because you might have had a McRib in recent years, but for the most part, it's just been kind of a regional rollout, if you will. But this time via Twitter nationwide, the McRib season is here, starts November 1st. Now, let me tell you something else interesting. November 1st is my daughter's birthday. And her husband loves McDonald's. I mean, just loves the place. And so she, my daughter, hates McDonald's. But he, her husband, loves McDonald's. You know, to make a long story short, I don't know what's going to happen on November 1st, her birthday. Are they going to roll to get the McRib the day they come out or not? Time will tell. That should be a poll on our website, huh? It's interesting to me how people get into this stuff. I get into this stuff to some degree for fun. And, you know, part of it's just pastime stuff, right? Part of it's time. Part of it is that I'm a foodie kind of a guy. I don't love McDonald's, but I like McDonald's. You know, whenever a company can be around for as long as it's been around and stay relevant, I mean, almost everybody likes something at McDonald's, right? I'm personally a lover of the quarter pounder with cheese, the Big Mac, and the fish filet. Those are the ones that I like. Other people are like, oh, I like the McDouble, or people are like, I like the McGriddle. But there's, you know, everybody's got something they, you know, could pick at McDonald's. And McDonald's has been so iconic even when kind of the modern health craze rolled in and McDonald's took a beating about fresh food. They kind of upped their ante. They made a lot of their beef fresh. They, you know, took the step to make some, add some salads to the menus and everything else. They managed to adapt with the times quite well, too. But I'm telling you, that McDonald's barbecue pork sandwich, the McRib, I'm talking about, you're McLovin' it with that, baby. And it's coming out November 1st. Anyway, people are like, why would you waste so much time on that, Sam, of all things? Primarily, ladies and gentlemen, because I want you to know that this show is about life. All right? This is news the networks refuse to use, in that we do focus on things that relate to your life. And yesterday's broadcast was all positive about hope, about, you know, your calling, about tragedy and triumph and success. That's what the 2 hours yesterday was about. Incredible interview with Brad Barton, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. It's still archived and available at your fingertips, right? Free. Now, but then today we're saying, you know, what's going on? All kind of things are going on in your world, in your life, right? So we're going to talk about a few of those things. Some of them aren't near, oh, the normal, traditional, hard-hitting in the traditional sense, but I believe they are hard-hitting in a way. You know, it's hard-hitting when a iconic sandwich has been literally loved by people since 1981. How long is that, folks? 40 years? Think about that for a minute. You've got a sandwich that has been loved by people for 40 years. McDonald's has been marketing brilliance on this, where they've used social media. They've now got McSeason even talking about how iconic this sandwich is. People wait for the football season to come around, or the basketball, or the baseball season, or whatever it is. And winter, spring, summer, or fall. I love fall when all the, you know, TV shows come out, or whatever your favorite. Now you've got these, this big following for a barbecue pork sandwich season. The McSeason, it's when it, I mean, think about what kind of an iconic marketing reality that is. And I submit to you that that can primarily really only happen to the degree that it does in America. Social media changes has launched McDonald's into the driver's seat for this and everything else. It's just amazing to consider. It really, really is. Anyway, enough of McRibs, but I'm going to go get me one of those bad boys when they come out. And there you have it. All right, InfoWars founder, talk show host, and more, I guess they call it the Alex Jones Show, has lost another defamation lawsuit brought by parents of children killed during the 2012 shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Now, this is a tragedy discussion here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to break it down in several ways that I believe to be relevant and important. And by no way am I going to attack Alex Jones on this. You know, I know there's so much information out there about Alex Jones. He's a hero. He's a rock star. He's behind enemy lines. He tells the truth. That's one side of the view. The other side of the view is he's lost his credibility. He's off his rocker. When he went to court, he claimed he had psychosis that made him do it. There's a lot of stuff about Alex, and I'm not really interested in getting into all that, right? This is not about Alex Jones. In my opinion, this is about the media. InfoWars founder Alex Jones lost a defamation lawsuit brought by parents of children killed in the Sandy Hook disasters. According to court documents unsealed on Thursday, Judge Maya Guerra Gamble, or Gamble, I guess it is, of Travis County, Texas, issued a judgment by default against Alex Jones and ordered Jones to pay reasonable attorney fees in connection with the plaintiff's motions. The Huffington Post, I guess, first reported it. They love to attack Alex Jones over at the Huffington Post. I guess they've ruled against Jones in two separate Sandy Hook cases. Two separate Sandy Hook cases. They say he, meaning I guess Alex Jones, will now be liable for all damages. And then they say, and a jury will be convened to determine how much he will owe the plaintiffs. Now, I've got a big problem with this, ladies and gentlemen. Let me explain my big problem with this. Now they're going to have a jury? Shouldn't he have had a jury the whole time? Could a judge just rule against Alex Jones without a jury of his peers to analyze? See, this is where I kind of think things are a problem. All the jury gets to do is decide how much of a beating Alex Jones gets to take over this. I guess the plaintiffs, Leonard Posner and Veronique De La Rosa, I guess it is, brought the case against Jones in 2018. All right, now listen to this. Now, I got a problem with that. 2018 is now 2021. Where's the speedy trial for Alex Jones, number one? Number two, did he have a fair jury of his peers along this whole process like we're supposed to get? I don't think so. See what I mean? That, to me, is a big concern. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Efforts to pass a big part of President Biden's agenda now stalled. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing Friday that more time is needed to pass an infrastructure bill. Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn tells Fox News the people have spoken and they don't want this bill.
They're furious about inflation, the price at the pump, and what they're saying is stop it. That is why the president's numbers are tanking. It is why Pelosi cannot get the votes together.
Biden tweeting Friday night, the infrastructure deal and his Build Back Better agenda will make a huge difference for the American people, and together we're going to get this done. Biden trying to get his programs through as he deals with low approval ratings. A Rasmussen poll out Friday shows an approval rating of just 42%. He hasn't been above 50% in over 2 months. 56% of respondents disapprove. That puts Biden 14 points underwater. This is USA Radio News.
Oh, according to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. That means that 82% of you listening right now will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, 82% of you will recall that ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And 82% of you will note that you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/find. 82% of you will keep in mind that ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
Who are you talking to? 82%
of you will also know that I, live with my mom. But the most important thing to note is that ZipRecruiter works. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Will you be part of the 82% who remember where you can try ZipRecruiter for free? It's ZipRecruiter.com/find. Again, that exclusive link is ZipRecruiter.com/find. That's ZipRecruiter.com/find.
Dr. Anthony Fauci impressed by a possible COVID breakthrough. Merck and Ridgeback Biotherapeutics announcing Friday a new pill to treat the virus. Fauci in yesterday's White House briefing.
The company, when they briefed us last night, had mentioned that they will be submitting their data to the FDA imminently. The data are impressive. In the placebo group, there were 8 deaths, and in the treatment group, there were no deaths. That's also very important and very good news.
Merck says the pill reduces hospitalizations by 50% for those with mild to moderate cases of COVID. This would be the first pill to treat COVID if it gets FDA approval. Merck says it'll seek that approval immediately. China flexing its military muscle. The country on Friday flies 38 military jets into Taiwan's defense zone. Taiwan says it deployed its missile system to monitor the jets, but no missiles were fired. This is believed to be the largest incursion of China into Taiwan's defense zone. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so we're talking about Alex Jones. InfoWars founder Alex Jones lost a nationwide lawsuit, a defamation lawsuit, I guess, against Alex Jones. Parents of children killed during Sandy Hook, 2 cases. Jones lost both of them. And my problem is that the cases started in 2018, and it's now 2021, almost 2022. I don't know that I call that a speedy trial, do you? The second problem that I have with it is that they... now they're going to have a jury decide how much Jones has to pay. And I think about that, and I have a problem because did a jury decide that Jones was guilty? Jones eventually just said in court that he had a psychosis that made him believe these things. Well, is that really the truth? Or is the truth that, you know, you got to say something so the judge doesn't throw the book at you? They say that they filed the lawsuit in 2018 after the radio host allegedly claimed. Okay, I don't know why we're putting allegedly in here. Alex Jones on the radio did say that the shooting was a hoax, and that the parents were hired as crisis actors. All right. Now, I don't really know how to break this down. All right. So. The couple's son, Noah Ponzer, was a victim of the shooting, the lawsuit said. The conspiracy theory, which has been pushed by InfoWars and Mr. Jones since the day of the shooting, alleges that the Sandy Hook massacre did not happen or that it was staged by the government and concealed using actors, and that the parents of the victims are participants in a horrifying cover-up. Now, the Judge Gamble's ruling castigated both Jones and InfoWars, parent company Free Speech Systems, specifically saying that the defendants were intentionally basically doing this, et cetera, et cetera. Now, so my problem with this is a speedy trial has not been afforded to Jones. My second problem with this, ladies and gentlemen, is that I don't know that appropriate due process has happened. Okay, no jury appears that I could see until the final, what, sentencing or whatever you want to say, how much do you owe or what's the deal? I got another problem. Either the Sandy Hook events did happen or they didn't happen. That's number one. And whether they happened or not, then downstream from that is if it didn't happen, then all the lies are surrounding the case, right? Think about that. All the lies are surrounding the case if it did not happen, if Sandy Hook did not happen. If it did happen, then it's a debate of how it happened and who was involved and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So there you have it. And even though I think that Sandy Hook happened, I don't believe that we're getting the true scoop from your government. Now, I don't know how much of it's a hoax versus not. I don't know how much of it is fake actors or not, or cover up or not, or whatever. But it reminds me of the 9/11 example, or the Oklahoma City bombing, or Waco, or Ruby Ridge with Randy Weaver. You know, a lot of the facts and the details of this is going to be murky. JFK, we can go on. They can say, oh, you're just involved in conspiracy theory all you want to. And I'm not going to go down that road in playing games. I don't know what the truth is in terms of the details. Okay? I don't know who lied at Sandy Hook. I don't know who covered up what at Sandy Hook. But I know that the official story our government is telling us is not true. But no matter whether you believe it happened or not, okay, let me be very clear about your First Amendment. And this is in defense of Alex Jones. Not that I even agree with Alex Jones on all the facts of the case. I might not agree with what he says, but I agree and defend his right to say it. If he believes that Sandy Hook is a hoax that did not happen, regardless of the evidence, regardless of the facts, he has every right to say that if he wants to. And think that. If that's his belief and what he says, he has every right to that. If somebody wakes up in the morning and they're getting a sunburn because it's so sunny outside and they say the sun did not rise today, despite the evidence of their sunburn, despite the evidence that every one of us can tell that the sun's out, even a blind person can feel the sun on their skin, okay, they have the right to say the sun didn't come out today. You might disagree with it. You might think it's fake news. You might think it's bogus. You might. But what they did literally is engage in a defamation lawsuit. And you'd say, Sam, look, man, libel, slander, defamation. That's the issue here. It isn't the First Amendment and what Alex Jones has the right to think or believe or whatever else. But I say that it is. And you say, why, Sam? He slandered people. Well, here's the deal. Defamation is the act of committing and communicating false statements about a person and injure the reputation of that person. The act of defaming another, right? Defamation is a statement. Libel is written, from what I understand, that injures a third party's reputation. It includes libel, that's written statements, and slandered spoken statements. All right. There you have it. Now they say prima facie defamation, a plaintiff must show four things. One, a false statement purporting to be fact. That's what Alex Jones did. He said, hey, you know what? Sandy Hook did not happen. It's a hoax. Tube publication or communication of that statement to a third person. Thus the radio show. Three. And then they go on. Fault amounting to, et cetera, et cetera. But think about that for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe defamation was committed. That's fine. Yeah, there should be accountability for that, right? Think about it. The third one, fault amounting to at least negligence. And for damages, some harm caused. Different states vary in their defamation statutes. They will vary somewhat from state to state, etc. But ladies and gentlemen, the problem that I'm having with this is, when can you say what you want to say, and when does it amount to defamation? So if you say, I don't believe that Sandy Hook happened at all, I think you have a right to say that. It's false. In my opinion, I believe it did happen. Now you say, Sam, are you swallowing the deception about this? You need to get educated. You need to talk to people who, I understand, I've researched it, I know. But I believe something happened at Sandy Hook. Whether it was a big false flag operation, I believe that it was. I believe it was a false flag government involved operation. But I don't want to run around and say it was a hoax, nothing happened there, it was all actors, and it was all this, and it was all that. Because then you border into things that you can't prove. Oh, all these parents are, you know, actors. Everybody's faking it. You know, then you start to get into slander, libel, right? But here's the problem that I'm having. So Alex Jones commits slander and libel, and he gets fined for it, and it's not really a speedy trial, and there's no jury of peers, etc., really, about this thing. See, I think Alex Jones should be able to say what he wants. If he thinks they're actors and that's his opinion to which he's entitled, he can think that. He can think it's a hoax. It didn't happen. There's actors. I don't know that he created defamation in terms of attacking them and fulfilling these four guidelines. But here's my biggest problem of all with it. You and I have been slandered many times, my friends. I especially. James Edwards especially. Okay, they've lied about us. They say that I'm a racist. That isn't true. The Southern Poverty Law Center ties me to hate groups. That isn't true. I have produced less hate on the radio than probably anybody you've ever listened to. I'm not full of hate. I have a right to my opinion, which I articulate reasonably well. I have a right to disagree with people. I could disagree and do so agreeably and be kind and respectful. I've had plenty of people on the other side of the aisle on this radio program and been very kind and respectful to them. Okay, but when you look at this, do I have a right to my beliefs? Or does that make me a hater? Has the Southern Poverty Law Center slandered and created libel against me? Yeah, but we'll never be able to go to court and win. So my biggest problem with this is lack of speedy trial, lack of First Amendment protections, and selective enforcement. That's right. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, so back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. And so you're saying, Sam, you're kind of babbling and meandering about the subject with Alex Jones. You know what? He's lost a couple of defamation lawsuits over Sandy Hook. He claims it's a hoax. It didn't exist. The actors or the parents were actors. It's all bogus and da-da-da. I believe Alex Jones is entitled to those views, even if I don't believe they're true. I defend his right to say it, even though I don't defend what he's... I don't believe in what he's saying, but I defend his right to say it, right? All right, well, anyway, this defamation lawsuit has taken 3+ years. On one hand, you say, well, what about a speedy trial? He hasn't had one. 3 years is not speedy. Secondly, you know what? A jury appears to decide how much Jones owes. What about a jury appears to decide if he's guilty or not? See, I would vote Jones not guilty on this. Because I don't believe that the families have been slandered to the degree that they claim. I don't believe they've been harmed to the degree, etc. But my biggest problem with this, never mind the lack of a speedy trial, never mind the lack of a jury of your peers, etc., etc. I believe the biggest problem with this case is the selective enforcement discussion, where, you know what, Facebook has even blatantly admitted. We've talked about this. We highlighted the Wall Street Journal report documenting this. Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, is highlighting this and saying even Facebook's manipulation of their accounts relates to possible vote fraud and more, where some accounts are just average and they get shut down based on automated algorithms. Other accounts have special privilege, right? And when an incumbent candidate has special privilege account, when somebody running against that incumbent has a average account or a great unwashed account, they get shut down. It almost amounts to vote fraud, manipulating of the votes, and what we can see and hear and believe about the candidates, right? Direct interference. Well, the same thing's true with this Alex Jones thing. Why is he guilty of defamation? Because he believes Sandy Hook did not exist. It's a hoax. He believes the actors or the parents are just actors, and you know all this is a big old massive government cover-up. See? Now, the problem with Alex Jones is he pushed too hard, and he kind of got in the face of some of the parents and in my opinion, crossed the line, which I think is wrong and everything. But here's the deal. Why does he commit defamation, but the mainstream press against me does not commit defamation? They've claimed that I'm part of these hate groups. I'm not part of any hate group. I haven't done anything to spew hate anywhere. Well, Sam, you don't believe in critical race theory. No, I don't. But that doesn't make me a hater. Sam, you don't believe in the gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender agenda. That's right, I don't. But that doesn't mean that I hate anyone. Okay? And by calling me a racist and saying I'm a hater certainly causes me damage and harm. I am somewhat of a public figure, somewhat of a celebrity to some degree. I'm not trying to make me out more important than I am, but you can't say that I'm not in the limelight as a public figure. I take on some of the most controversial subjects anybody ever takes on. I don't have a pseudonym or anything like that. You know my real name. You know what I do, right? I've had death threats against me over the 25+ years I've been on the radio more than once. How about the IRS, the FCC, and the USDA all after me and everything else, right? So I get it, but at the same time, why is there no defamation against me? Well, Sam, you haven't sued. That's right, I haven't sued. Why? Because it's about impossible to get to court and win. That's why. You want an example? The Southern Poverty Law Center went to an event that I was the speaker at. I was a speaker. Tom DeWeese, our good friend over at AmericanPolicy.org, was the organizer. And Richard Mack was a speaker. And they literally claimed that we incited violence at our meeting. I kid you not. This was in Pennsylvania. We were there live. And a Southern Poverty Law Center member infiltrated our event, or went to our event, whatever you want to call it. And at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, we had this event, and they came out and started to claim that we incited violence at that meeting. The problem for the Southern Poverty Law Center is that we had video of the speeches. And we literally proved to them that there was no call out for, or advocation of, or encouraging of violence. There was none. And the Southern Poverty Law Center, we threatened a lawsuit against them, and they finally admitted that we were right and they were wrong, and they literally sent us a letter of retraction. We're sorry, we didn't mean to do it, we're wrong. Now here's the deal. How do you get to court when that happens? You go to court, and they'll say, well, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center already apologized. They already wrote a written retraction to you. But here's the problem. The damage is already done. Right? Well, that's just one example. I'll give you another example about James Edwards, my dear friend. He literally was, in my opinion, attacked. There was libel and slander committed against him by the Detroit News, where they claimed that he was a leader of the KKK. Well, it turns out that James sued them. When they went to court, even the court case documents, James is not a leader of the KKK. He's not even affiliated with the KKK. He's not even a member of the KKK, much less a leader. But in that case, what they did is they came back and said, you know, even though he's not a leader, even though you guys said that, and it's flat out defamation, according to the strictest guidelines on what defamation is, you know, we're going to just go along with Aesop's fables. It's the company James keeps that's the problem. In other words, guilty by association. The problem is, I don't know that James hangs out with KKK members, but he's never been one. Well, what they did is just dismiss the case and protect the press in that one. The Detroit Free Press got protected, the author got protected, and James had no case. So let me get this right. Alex Jones doesn't believe in the hoax of Sandy Hook, and he goes out and says so. Defamation, libel. 3 years in the making, no speedy trial, no real jury of your peers. Slam. The parents win. Alex Jones guilty of defamation and libel and slander and everything else, okay? James Edwards, though, has the quintessential, and the media gets protected. Donald Trump says, hey, we need to change the libel laws and the way they work so that we can stop people from abusing us. Well, it's selective enforcement, and that's my biggest problem with it. I wanted to highlight the speedy trial discussion, the jury of one's peers discussion, the First Amendment discussion about you can say and think what you want, and even though I may not agree with what you say, I'll defend your right to say it, etc. That's really important. But I believe we have selective enforcement going on, and that's the biggest problem of all. If I commit libel and slander against Google, then they can sue me and they'll probably win. If they commit libel and slander against me, I don't have a prayer to sue them and win. That's the problem. All right, I'll give you an example of the selective enforcement. I've highlighted it with the Alex Jones case. All right, I've highlighted it also with a case of Facebook having different accounts for different users. If you're the average Joe, you're the great unwashed, you're shut down with an automated script. Boom. And it's really hard to undo the shutdown, right? But if you're in the special group, you get special privilege. You get a special account where your account's not only not shut down, but it's protected. Well, you want me to give you more evidence to prove the point? Because here it is. Britney Spears posted a series of totally nude photos on Instagram. And the social media site has yet to take them down, despite the fact that it breaks their community guidelines. Now, if it was me or you or anybody else, they'd have the photos down in a second, but not for Britney. She's protected. So listen, the 39-year-old singer lit up the internet on Thursday after she posted not one but six fully nude snaps showing her not wearing a stitch of clothing. I guess she had edited pink flower stickers over her breasts, her buttocks, and her private areas. She captioned the post, quote, "Playing in the Pacific, never hurt anybody." The post, by the way, has since gone viral with more than 2.9 million likes and counting. You can view the post on Instagram, by the way. Taking a look at Instagram's nudity policy under its section called Community Guidelines, it states in part the following. We know that there are times when people might want to share nude images that are artistic or creative in nature. You can say, okay, that's Britney, right? But for a variety of reasons, we don't allow nudity on Instagram. This includes photos, videos, and some digitally created content that shows, and then it goes on to say, sexual intercourse, genitals, and close-ups of fully nude buttocks, etc. It also includes some photos. Anyway, they go on and talk about, you know, photos in the context of breastfeeding or whatever. But here's the deal. So the problem with this is that we've got selective enforcement going on when it comes to Britney. She's got a special privileged account, right? She can do what the rest of us can't do. And that's really where the rubber meets the road here. Now you say, well, Sam, there's a lot of likes on this thing. That's right. Because Britney has made a lot of news because she's busted out of her, quote, conservatorship or conservativeship, whatever it's called, conservatorship, with her father. And now she's supposed to be able to live on her own and decide for herself. And her mental issues are behind her. And, okay, that's all good and fine. But the problem is what they're doing is they're capitalizing on this. Instagram knows that they leave that up, they'll get a lot of viewers to their site. A lot of people liking Britney's this and that. A lot of controversy, a lot of coverage over this. And they're giving Britney special privilege. See? And that's the problem that I'm having in America. What you're really relating to is the have and the have-nots. And Alex Jones, in this case, sadly, has become a have-not. He doesn't have the chutzpah to be able to win. James Edwards doesn't have the chutzpah to be able to win. His case was just shut down. In one case, they go after Alex. Libel and slander, guilty. Defamation, guilty. When it comes to James Edwards, they're just saying, hey, the media is not guilty, as they pick favorites. It's done on Facebook. We've proven it with the Wall Street Journal evidence and the Ron DeSantis going after Facebook for their selective either shutdown or special protection plans. Same thing with Instagram. We see it now, blatant as all get out. We see the same thing in the Alex Jones case, in the James Edwards case. This isn't about Alex Jones or James Edwards or about Facebook or about Instagram as entities. This is about a two-tiered system in America. They've created the inside elites. They've got protection no matter what they do, say, think, believe, write. You and I are shut down. We don't have any protections for what we say, do, believe, write, etc. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem I'm having with these cases. But we've got to do something in America, ladies and gentlemen, because you know what? Pretty soon they're going to say, if you claim vaccines aren't real and they don't work, or you say they're not real, you say they don't work, you say they're dangerous or whatever, not safe, not effective, or whatever, you're going to be guilty of libel and slander against the vaccine companies. Where will this go and what can we say and not say in America is the real question that you got to ask. Do we have a First Amendment in America? Is it live and well, or is it being trampled by the two-tiered system being created in America by big tech backed by government? Those are my questions for you to seriously contemplate. All right, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. I am Sam Bushman, and I declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, will you?